You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. And in this special podcast series, kindly brought to you in association with LTK, we're going to be looking at the world of fashion content creators. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. So today I'm talking with Edinburgh-based Louisa Hatt, and I began by asking her about what she's been up to at the moment.
I've been doing it for about 2 years or so, and for the last year, I've been using sort of Like to Know It to sort of help support the more commercial side of what I do. Really, at the moment, I'm focusing on building my commerce industry through Instagram and also through Like to Know It. So trying to post consistently on Like to Know It so that mirrors my Instagram feed as well. Like to Know It's got lots of new features, things like gift guides. So just familiarising myself with all of that as well, but also trying to educate my audience on things like affiliate links as well, so not assuming that people understand what those things are, but I think that's really important. I think especially for me, because I'm still learning as I go along, so I'm trying to sort of educate my audience at the same time when I learn. So that's the primary focus at the moment.
And so, Louisa, why do you think consumers are buying more from influencers? And obviously the pandemic has had a huge impact there because people, you know, they couldn't go out and shop. It seems to be serving so many advantages, particularly around styling. What's been your experience?
I think it's because as influencers, we build a real level of trust with our audiences. So they trust what we say. They can come to us for advice on items. And I think certainly where I've been successful, my following isn't massive, but I have a really engaged following. And I'll only promote and share pieces that I feel really strongly about and that I love. And I think my following have come to trust me for that. Hopefully they don't feel like they're getting bombarded with lots of stuff. Because I guess as an influencer, I get sent quite a lot, but I'll only ever share a small amount of that. And it's pieces that I really believe in. So yeah, I think that it's that level of trust that influencers are building with their community and with their audiences. And I feel like that's what people need at the moment. It's unfortunate so many high street shops have closed, like massive ones, like Topshop have now sort of gone online. And there's a lot of stuff online, but I think it's just a more efficient way, I think, for audiences to get what they want is through following an influencer who you trust, you love what they wear, you believe in what they say.
Oh, yes, I absolutely agree with you. And in fact, when I go into a shop, it's largely flat lay or loads of items hanging there. And I have to say, I try and visualize what that's going to look like. Whereas, you know, if it's like when I look at fashion influence, male fashion influencers, for example, and I see a nice jacket, you know, it looks particularly cool on him. And I like the way he's merged those colors together, perhaps with the setting. He's almost giving me a use case example. And I just wanted to get a feel for what you think here, because I think traditional retailers are missing a trick here, aren't they? That's why influencers have been so successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it brings, like you said, it brings the pieces to life. It also humanizes the brands, you know, rather than just seeing an item, like you said, just on a mannequin or hanging on a rail, you actually see someone wearing it, like how they've put it together, how it flows as well, because sometimes it's hard to get a sense of that, like how heavy even the fabric is. Is it quite weighty? Is it quite light? As influencers, we can talk about sort of the fit and feel as well of the garment and pair up with different things, dress up, dress it down. So yeah, just providing so many more options.
And tips and advice on how to wear something. You could do this with this garment or this color, or even adding bangles or additional accessories to improve the total look.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you're so right. So sort of accessorizing, such an important thing. Like I found that the pieces that sell the best or do the best tend to be sort of the staples. So sort of your classic shirts, sort of tailored trousers, and they're the pieces that you can sort of dress up and dress down as well through accessorizing, through changing up the shoes. And
no, I absolutely agree with you. What you don't want to do is come over as a bit of a market trader. One month I'm doing this, next month I'm doing that. And I would imagine if I was a brand, I would want to work with you all year round so your followers get used to seeing you partnering with them. It's also almost congruent with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is much more sort of beneficial and profitable for them to work with influencers, but working with influencers all year round. Personally, I think consumers can see through it when you're just promoting stuff because there's a discount that's there and they tend to not engage with that. That's certainly what I found with my following. I'll sort of provide tips and recommendations throughout the year. But what I will do is make reference to things like Black Friday to say that, you know, Black Friday is coming up. There might be some discounts available on these pieces, but I certainly will be pushing those discounts because I think if people love the products, they're going to buy them anyway.
So today I'm talking with the wonderful Louisa Hatt, and we'll be back in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by LTK, the pioneers of creator commerce. LTK is the platform on which creators are now driving more than $3 billion in annual retail sales, with its content monetization and brand collaboration tools. Thousands of global creators come to LTK to grow their flagship creator shop, which you can discover on the LTK shopping app today.
Welcome back, and I'm talking today with Louisa Hatt. So tell us about some of the campaigns you've worked on, if there's any of those that have been particularly standout ones that have gone down like a storm.
I've worked with Farfetch recently. That was a great one. But I think the real standout one for me was Net-a-Porter. And I never know if it's Net-a-Porter or Net-a-Porter. But they got in touch. It was last year. It was late last year. And I probably had about 4,000 followers at the time. So I didn't have like the swipe up facility, which you get when you get like 10,000 followers. So I remember just thinking it was like junk mail. Like I didn't quite believe it because they're huge. They're like a luxury retailer. So they got in touch and I've worked with them 4 or 5 times now. And it's been fantastic. It's been an absolute dream. They give me a lot of autonomy as well, which is great. At first, I used to get quite a specific brief on what they wanted. Whereas as time's passed, I can see that I'm starting to build that trust with them, that when I've asked them, well, what's the brief? And they're like, oh, there isn't a brief. Just, you know, that always goes down a storm with my followers. So yeah, that's great.
Yes. In fact, I know a lot of content creators that if they've got too much of a prescriptive brief from a brand, they just don't feel comfortable with it because the tone of voice doesn't resonate with their audience. And in fact, they've actually said, this isn't for me. And I don't know if that specifically has happened to you, has it?
Yeah, it has. Quite recently, actually, because you can feel quite hemmed in by some of the specifics in the brief. And also there are some brands that have approached me as well, like quite big high street brands that I've just thought it almost doesn't fit with my brand. If I was to collaborate with that brand, and I can see that my following would sort of see through that and say that's incongruent, as you'd say, it doesn't feel like a good fit. So that's been really interesting for me, actually sort of turning down work, which is seems like a bizarre thing to do, but I guess I kind of go with my gut when it comes to collaborations. And if it doesn't feel right, if it isn't sort of a brand that I'd normally shop at and spend my money, then I wouldn't take the work to then promote that to my audience. It just wouldn't.
Quite frankly, that's the right answer. Because for me, I would want to know the content creator would want to go out and buy that product anyway, even before they were to promote it. Because you're right, your audience will just see through that. So why do you think it's become so much more successful for consumers to buy from you guys? And in fact, some people are just not going back out into the high street, are they? What sort of feedback are you getting? And more importantly, Louisa, how much are they buying from you? How many garments a week, for example, are you selling, you know, 4 or is it 50?
It's hard to provide a sense of that. It's not, to be honest, the volumes aren't that high. But it tends to be sort of on key pieces, as I mentioned, sort of classic things like, you know, tailored trousers, shirts. So one thing I have found, though, is that skincare is starting to do a bit better. So I want to promote skincare. And I think that's also because it's much more universal. So you don't have to be able to, you know, it's not dependent on your size, or your height or anything. So skincare seems to be doing really well for me, and beauty also.
And what about you having your own brand? Have you ever thought about that?
Never say never. What seems to be quite common now is that a lot of influencers are actually working with brands to sort of design a line for them. So I think that would probably be more likely to happen. But yeah, ideally, I would absolutely love my own brand. Whether or not I think there's a gap in the market for it at the moment, I'm not too sure. I think probably influencers like myself working really closely with brands on items that they have, or designing pieces with those brands. I think that's probably where I see things moving.
And how important is it for brands to work with a diverse community of influencers, do you think?
Oh, so important. So important. I mean, it's just been a bit wild over the last kind of year and a bit with everything that's been happening sort of in the media and globally. But I worked with English Heritage brand earlier this year, and that went down so well with my audience. I was really overwhelmed by the messages that I got from my more diverse following saying, it's absolutely incredible to see you in this brand, because it's never been a brand that I've ever seen myself in. I've never seen anyone diverse. I've never seen anyone that's not white in those pieces. It really was incredible. It was like, it really, really hit me in the heart. And one person was just like, this is amazing. I'll now shop from that brand because I've seen you promoting the brand. So yeah, it was incredible. And what I did as well is that I made sure to feed that back to the brand. And then I've worked with the brand since. So yeah, it's just so, so important. It's just such a shame that brands don't take that on board more, but consistently as well, because you're missing out on such a huge market, you know, a huge diverse market. They've got money to spend. They're ready to spend the money. And it's incredible what a difference it makes to have more diverse models or more diverse influencers, because it's like a magnet. People are automatically attracted to that.
That's an amazing answer. And unfortunately, sometimes the media has this stereotypical image of the Love Island selfie view of an influencer. And it really annoys me, because there are so many amazing content creators out there, aren't there?
Yeah.
So lastly, what does the future look like for you? You know, are there any brands that you'd like to work with that you still haven't?
I think it'd be amazing for me to work with other influencers. I guess it's perhaps also my location, but I don't get to meet other influencers sort of face-to-face at all. It'd be incredible to actually work with or shoot with other influencers. I think that would be great, and be able to learn from them. I think as well, continuing to learn, but also being flexible. So I'm primarily on Instagram and I use like to know it, but considering other channels as well. YouTube, I think that's one I'm considering as well, because I think it's so much easier to convey messages sort of through voice, and the sentiment comes across a lot better. And then also your audience gets a better sense of sort of who you are as an individual. You can show your personality a lot more. So that's what I'm going to be thinking about in the new year.
Well, I have to say, Louisa, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. And thanks again. And I wish you all the very best for the future.
No problem at all. Thank you so much, Gordon. I love the chat.
That's it for another edition of Influence. And tomorrow I'm going to be talking with Josie Fear of The Fashion Mumbler, otherwise known as Josie London, LDN. And she's got over 250,000 followers on Instagram. So it's a great episode to listen to. Thanks, as always, to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.